bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, the holiday season is here, and Jay Fox has info from Experience Columbus to get everyone in the spirit. Jay will also talk to experts about how to deal with holiday stress, some upcoming tax code changes, and improvements for Franklin County veterans. Plus, Doug Petcash of Face the State will have a look at state politics. First up on Columbus Perspective.
It's the most wonderful time of the year here in Columbus, filled with rich history, traditions, and lots of family-friendly fun and holiday delights. Our friend Cam Walker joins us from Experience Columbus to talk about all the good things to come for the holidays in the capital city. Welcome, Cam.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. So, when did the holiday season officially begin in Columbus this year?
Columbus jumps into the holiday spirit right after Halloween. we are ready to go right after. Experience Columbus launched its holiday campaign on November 5th, bringing together the best ways to celebrate the season at experiencecolumbus.com/holidays. It's our goal to really serve as a go-to resource for residents and visitors looking to make the most of the holiday season. So you can go to that website and find holiday experiences, including special events, light displays, 100 local gift ideas in our gift guide presented by Santa 95. But really for timing, several light displays open to the public this weekend, the weekend before Thanksgiving. And the first weekend of December marks the return of major seasonal events, including beloved traditions like German Village's Village Lights on Sunday, December 7th, and Short North Alliance's Holiday Hop on Saturday, December 6th, the most festive gallery hop of the year.
Now, for folks that have never been to Columbus, and that's when we all go, what?
I know, you need to come.
Right. What can they expect as part of their Columbus holiday experience? And remember, talk to them as though they have never been here. What are they going to find?
Yes. Well, one, welcome. We'd love to have you. Columbus during the holidays is really magical. You can expect light displays everywhere, really beautiful, amazing opportunities to shop locally, support the incredible vendors we have here. We have such a diverse art scene, fashion, experiences for you and the family to do if you want to give the gift of an experience rather than something tangible. Really, we do say we have something for everyone, but it's true. Sports fans, foodies, everyone, you name it. And it's hard to pick just one thing. So we do encourage you take advantage of as many events and activations as possible. Most do run through January. But we really do encourage them to use Experience Columbus as a resource to plan out their trip and take advantage of everything there is to offer.
What is new this year?
So there are a few things. I will highlight two. So we have this incredible returning lights display that downtown Columbus puts on called Wander Lights. For those that are not familiar, it's a trail that stretches for more than 150 lighted trees and garden displays at Columbus Commons downtown, along with a Penguin Line Town Street down the Scioto Mile. It's really great to walk downtown for that. That starts November 21st. But new this year, they're introducing something called Wander Nights on select Fridays and Saturdays, where you will find complimentary hot chocolate and carousel rides at Columbus Commons, as well as free holiday movie screenings at the Scioto Mile Fountain. Think Frozen, Frozen 2, really amazing family-friendly options there, as well as special visits from Santa in the Lazarus Building Galleria and more. So check out Wanderlights, Wander Nights, and all things downtown Columbus. For maybe more of a romantic date night, also new this year, we recommend going to the Juncho Hotel, which is on the other side of the river over by our COSI Science Museum. They have debuted what they're calling the Santa Baby Holiday Bar through January 3rd. It's red velvet decor from ceiling to floor, bold holiday accents, amazing seasonal cocktails, including one that even reveals if you've been naughty or nice this year. It's very Instagram worthy, very romantic. So those are two that we recommend putting on your list.
Okay. Now, for those of us that are into history, are we going to German Village? Is that our best spot?
You sure can. German Village is a great stop for history lovers. The entire neighborhood is on the National Register of Historic Places. So I would recommend checking that out for amazing food and shopping and the Village Lights experience I mentioned earlier, where they have all of the brick-lined streets covered in illuminated bags and shopping vendors in the streets. But I also wanted to recommend for history lovers, there's an event on Friday, December 13th at Ohio History Center called Holiday Histories, where you can explore traditions from around the world, enjoy crafts and carolers, and shop unique gifts. So that's a really great option for history lovers. And also, the Ohio State House is really rich and full of history. They do tours all year long that are free to the public, starting on the top of the hour. But they also do every December, and this year it's December 4th, the annual holiday festival and tree lighting, which really kicks off the holidays in Columbus. So Santa Claus will be there to light the tree in the atrium, and guests can enjoy complimentary cookies and activities from local organizations and even get a photo with Santa in front of the State House. So I always love to go there and learn a bit about Ohio's past.
Now, in my family, there's a tradition that we literally just get in the car and we go hunting for Christmas lights. Where do you think the best place is to do a drive-by?
Oh, I love that tradition. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to do that. Well, if you want to stay in the car and stay warm, you can drive through Butch Bando's Fantasy of Lights in Delaware. It's locally owned, a family-run show that features over 300 displays, including some of the largest silhouettes in the country. That's running November 21st through January 4th. I will say my own personal favorite lights display, and I take this from my grandfather, who lives in Florida but has come to visit in Ohio several times. He is 85 and says that the best holiday lights display he has ever seen in his life is at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, their wild lights display. It returns on November 21st, and that has millions of LED lights and displays, and it draws thousands of visitors each year. So that is also a stop that you won't want to miss.
Now, you talked about your grandfather. Storytelling is popular this time of the year. Are there any thoughts where we could go to hear some good holiday stories besides my house? Because I bore people with the stories of Lazarus for hours.
I always love seeing stories unfold on stages, and festive performances are really popular this time of year. We have a ton of local historic theaters that do incredible shows. One is A Christmas Carol at the Ohio Theater, which is here from November 28th through 30th. There's also the Columbus Symphony's Holiday Pops, not much storytelling, but great music at Ohio Theater in December, as well as a personal, holiday favorite, Ballet Mets the Nutcracker at Ohio Theater as well. That's December 11th through 28th. So I think that's a really great option to go and see, those storied holiday traditions unfold on a stage.
Now, true or false, the Columbus Library System has limited quantities of discount tickets for certain events.
Yes, the Columbus Library has what they call as a cultural pass. If you have a library membership, you can go check out various activities for free. They did add Ballet Met this year, as well as different CAPA, which is the performing arts organization. That's a really great free opportunity, as well as several other light displays. But going to check out the branch before you go to see what they have. But you can also get zoo tickets there and go to see wild lights for free. So be sure to take advantage of that.
That sounds great. We want to thank Cam Walker from Experience Columbus for being here and giving us a very long agenda for the month of December.
Thank you, Jay.
For Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening.
The Fan.
You're listening to Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's Jay Fox.
The holidays are supposed to be magical, but if you're being honest, sometimes they often feel like emotional triage, a chaotic swirl of guilt, tense family gatherings, arguments, juggling unrealistic expectations, and endless emotional labor. The Reverend Dr. TLC joins us now on Columbus Perspective to unpack this and other potential solutions. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's an honor. Why do you think, from the balcony view, the holidays are more stressful than other times?
Well, I think they're more stressful because, first of all, we have multiple people descending upon us all at one time with varying expectations without having communication around those expectations. So we get into this place of people pleasing rather than taking a step back and really figuring out what the holidays are all about.
With so many people finding themselves at odds with other family members for a variety of reasons. It could be political, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional, it could be past trauma. How does a family avoid conflict on the holiday?
Three things that we can do. First, we can embrace or honor the sacred moments of the holiday. The second thing we can do is embrace the self-itch boundaries. And the third thing is embrace the shared goals. So what do I mean by that? Honoring what's sacred about the moment, really sitting down and figuring out, why do you engage in the holiday in the first place? Are you simply trying to please others, or is it about something else? And then rewrite the narrative for what you want to happen during the holidays. And then the selfish boundaries. No is a complete sentence. Often we do things to please others, and we have to understand what our own limitations are, what our own mental health needs are, and why we might be frustrated about things. And then communicate those things to other people. And then thirdly, embracing the shared goals is really about what are the common goals for the holiday, and sit down and chart those things out before you get together.
A little latitude in our attitude to fill our homes with gratitude.
Yes, indeed.
When you talk about scripted boundaries, and I read this in something you wrote, setting prompts. What do you mean? How do we actually set a scripted boundary and a prompt? Is this like somebody says something that's like, uh-oh, and I pull my earlobe and everybody knows to stop talking?
No, it's really more about when I work with people, I will give them boundaries often that, you know, we have problems coming up with, what do I say when my mother, when she says to me, that's not the way to make the potatoes. You need to make them this way, that way, et cetera. And so I tell people, here's a boundary to say, I know and appreciate that you make the potatoes that way, but I want to do something different this year. And then what you do is you don't get back into a back and forth with them. You keep repeating the same refrain. You almost go dead, you know, like brain dead in your responses. And that way you don't frustrate yourself. They understand you're not going to argue with them. And then the conversation is over. So prepare how you will respond before the situation occurs.
I got to dig back in time to a memory and see how you would have handled this differently. So,
okay.
Growing up in Shaker Heights, Ohio, my parents lived across the street from my grandmother, and my grandfather was deceased at the time. My mother would host Thanksgiving dinner every year, and my grandmother would come from across the street. But she always brought a pan of chicken legs that she had oven baked and a Jell-O mold, and it always thoroughly upset my mother. What could my mother have said differently to her mother-in-law that might have eased that situation?
I think it would be important for your mother to have thought about what was upsetting to her about that. And then secondly, try to have the conversation with her mother-in-law and say, this is what upsets me about this, because it's likely a trigger from something else. We have to understand what our triggers are. And then the third thing is it a really big deal to have the chicken and the Jell-O mold? is it really that much of a big deal? So I think sometimes what we do is we make too much out of a situation because we're carrying family hurts, family patterns with us. We can make the choice to rewrite the narrative.
I remember when I was maybe 13 or 14, after years of this reoccurring, I asked my grandmother, I'm like, why do you do this every year? And she just looked at me and she said, because you never know. And that year, my mother burned the turkey and we needed to eat that chicken.
So you see, there's a reason behind it. That's why communication is so important. And I would say for the holidays, make communication your number one priority. Communicate your needs. Communicate what's important to you and communicate how you will handle conflict when it arrives.
Now, should family members try to stay at hotels or Airbnbs when visiting to allow for downtime for both them and the host?
Absolutely. So I am the youngest of 10, and we need space from each other when we all get together. It's fun to come, to relax, to enjoy a meal, to laugh together. But, you know, too many people in one space, that's a lot of personalities to deal with. So absolutely stay at a hotel, stay at an Airbnb, anywhere you can so that you can have your downtime because it's important for your mental health.
Does having an itinerary or a plan in advance make things better or worse?
I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and. So if you have an itinerary, make room for flexibility. That's where the problem arises is when you say it has to be this. We're going to sit down at dinner at 6 o'clock. If it's 6:05, I'm going to go crazy. No, it is about fun and flexibility and the shared goals that you all have. So the itinerary for those people who need some order, it helps them to plan their day. But flexibility is really important as well.
How can the host both self-care and prepare at the same time?
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent question. So first, the host should prepare beforehand. The host should know what things are going to make them upset, and they then need to have a plan. Well, how will I exit and recalibrate? And that might mean going to take a time out for themselves, practice some deep breathing, have some code words that they use with another family member to help them calm down, and then also to help them don't take things personally. So the more preparation that they do ahead of time for knowing what their out would be, the better off they will be.
Now, listeners obviously are going to want to take a deep dive into this subject, especially with the rash of holidays that come between the second half of fourth quarter and the first half of first quarter. Is there a website that you would recommend or something that people could go to ask questions or learn more?
Absolutely. They can go to sacredintelligence.com and they can reach out to me there. Also, there are lots of websites that are out there that will tell you how to reduce the holiday stress.
I love that. I have both of my daughters coming to the table for the first time at the same time in 10 years. So I am dealing with all of this as we speak.
All right. Well, I hope you'll have a wonderful holiday.
I know I will. We want to thank the Reverend Dr. TLC for joining us. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
Millions of taxpayers will see changes when they file their 2025 taxes next year. And that includes you and me in right here in Central Ohio. Mark Stieber, Chief Tax Officer with Jackson Hewitt Tax Services, joins us now on Columbus Perspective to get us ready. Welcome, Mark.
Good to be here. Very exciting time, even though it's not tax day exactly. So it's a good topic to be talking about.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Taxes aren't due for another several months. Why is fourth quarter such an important time for tax planning?
Well, for a couple of reasons. There's still enough time to make changes that will impact your 2025 tax returns, over 2 months or four or five more paychecks. Once you hit January, there's not much anyone can do, a couple of little things, but not much. So there's still enough time to make substantial changes that can impact your tax return and have it come out like you like it. Things like adjusting your withholdings, starting to get your organizational plan for your documents, and a whole lot more.
What other steps should people be taking to prepare for this? Most people are worried about the holidays, but as you and I both know, the last second to make a donation to a nonprofit is 11:59 p.m. on December 31st. And of course, that will affect your taxes.
Well, as I said, once you get past January 1st, not a lot you can do. So make the most of your time right now. For example, if you have the opportunity, contribute the maximum amount to your 401k plan or a similar retirement plan before December 31st and enjoy those triple benefits of a tax deduction and tax-free growth. If you're an itemizer, consider prepaying property taxes or mortgage interest. And if you're an investor, consider setting off some of those stock loss dogs in your investment account or your stock account or even your crypto account. And take those tax deductions on your tax return. And then don't overlook your flexible spending account and some of those other things that you can't do after the first of the year, at least not easily. So make the most of the time you have left.
It seems like every year the tax laws change in some way, shape, or form, but these new tax laws seem to be unusually complex. What prompted the change?
Well, we certainly had one of the biggest legislative changes in history with that big, beautiful bill. And whether you like it or doesn't like it really is irrelevant. There's a host of new benefits in there. There's deductions and an increased child tax credit if you have dependents. There's deductions if you're at the age of 65 or older, if you're a tip earner, if you're an overtime earner, if you bought a car, a whole lot more. And so you want to look to that change, not to mention your life changes, to see whether or not you have more money or a lot more money on this year's tax return, and you need to start looking at that today so you can get yourself organized and prepared accordingly.
How does it affect low-income people?
Well, it affects all income people, but some of these tax benefits we just talked about do have a phase out. But if you're under, say, $100,000, and that's really a generic number because it depends on your marital status and other things, but if you're a moderate income earner, you might have the new child tax credit of up to $2,200. There's a new temporary deduction of up to $6,000 per person, $12,000 if you're married. If you're 65 or older, there's a new $25,000 deduction per person on tips that we've seen. And of course, if you've got overtime, another $12,000, no taxes on any overtime money you earned. And that can affect a lot of people, hospitality workers, personal service workers, food and beverage workers. All of those types of people get overtime, get tips, and they're maybe sitting on a new, big, beautiful tax deduction this year.
Sometimes people work side gigs, or we call them side hustles, and they get paid through applications like Cash App, Venmo, or the like. How does that get handled when you file your taxes?
Well, first thing, you might see that's not taxable unless you get a tax document, and that's not true. If you earn money on a side hustle, side gig, or any money, really, it's taxable. Now, that being said, there's been a lot of in and out on the new 1099-K, which is a 1099 you get if you get paid through a third-party app. And the amount used to be $20,000 of payments and 200 transactions. They moved that around to $2,500, and then it was going down to $600. Under the big, beautiful bill, it moved back up to $20,000. So whether or not you get a 1099-K and you're getting paid for your side hustle, just know this. You still probably have taxable income, but you also may have a host of deductions and benefits and choices. And to go into that without a tax professional, kind of risky, because you might be sitting on deductions and benefits that you didn't count on, or you might be leaving money off because you didn't think that was taxable because it was a side job. So make sure you understand the rules, take advantage of all the rules, pay the minimum tax you can, and just go about your business in the right order, and a tax pro can help with that.
Some taxpayers are very concerned that they're going to make mistakes and it's going to cost them in the long run. How would a taxpayer avoid making those errors?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot. What's the biggest mistake you see? And there's a lot that can get you audited or a penalty or interest or a letter from the IRS. But the biggest mistake I see is that self-inflicted mistake of leaving off a deduction, leaving off a credit, leaving off a benefit, and costing yourself money. Because here's the ugly truth. If you leave off a new deduction, like under the big, beautiful bill, the IRS is not just going to send you more money in that tax refund. You leave it off, it stays off. And so it's good to have a trained, experienced tax professional professional who can help walk you through all the tax changes and your life changes and make sure you get the biggest refund that you can. And when you hurry through your tax return on last day, on tax day, you leave stuff off, it stays off, and that money's gone forever.
There was a tremendous push over the last 4 years for people to buy electric vehicles. Is that particular tax incentive going away for 2025, or is it down the road that it's going away?
Yeah, the green credits for a variety of things, not just alternative fuel vehicles like electric cars, you know, and there were a lot of those things for cars, for home improvements, for even an energy study. Now, those all were eliminated eventually under the Big Beautiful Bill, but there are still some pretty sweet deals to be had in 2025. But I always tell people, you don't buy a car or get married or have a child just for the tax breaks. You know, that can change pretty quickly. But in the event you do one of these things, like buy an alternative fuel vehicle or a home energy improvement, you do want to talk to a tax professional and make sure, one, you get the most credit that you can and understand what the window of opportunity is. And unfortunately, that's coming up at the end of 2025. So talk with a pro if you bought an alternative car, if you're thinking about it over the final few weeks, and make sure you understand what the benefits are and what the risks are and whether or not you don't get it because you didn't buy the right time. So there's a lot there, but it's not just limited to energy credits. There's a whole lot more on there, including but not limited to life changes, home improvements, side hustles, and things like higher education for you or your family member. So there's a lot of benefit in the tax code if you know where to look.
I find IRS.gov to be confounding, very difficult to search. There's got to be someplace else we can send these listeners to get a layman's approach.
Well, you are absolutely correct. And I do like IRS.gov, but I'm a CPA, so I like the way that speaks. But I certainly recognize there is some confusing information, terms, technology, and the rest. So I like our website at JacksonHewitt.com. We kind of break it down simple for you with videos, with frequently asked questions in very simple to understand English. We have checklists. We have calculators. Yeah, we even have an office locator. So if you don't like going to IRS.gov for tax speak or code speak, JacksonHewitt.com's got you covered.
Well, I appreciate that, and so do our listeners. We want to thank Mark Stieber for being with us today. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Jay Fox.
There are over 60,000 veterans living in Columbus, and when you expand that to Franklin County, the number approaches 100,000. Veterans Day was November 11th, and Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins joins us now on Columbus Perspective magazine to update us on the government's plans for veterans. Good morning, sir. Thank you for your time.
I'm so glad to be with you.
What are the major challenges that veterans face today, and how is the VA addressing them?
Well, one, I think the best thing to say is we've got a lot of great veterans in Ohio, and especially the Columbus area. And as you mentioned, the numbers there, our clinic there is fantastic. I've been there already, and I'm very proud of what they're doing. And as the services expand, they're going to have even more access to health care and community care as we go forward. But I think one of the things, and I talk about this some, but I'm glad you gave me an opportunity here to do this. One of the hardest things for sometimes our veterans is to access their very earned benefits that they have. And one of the things we're working on is making it easier and simpler to not only transition out of the military and get to the VA services such as health care and benefits, but also make it to where a veteran can apply for their benefits and not have to go to somebody outside. So it's simple enough that they can apply. We get the information that we need, and we can make a decision on the benefits that they have applied or have earned. Look, one of the things that is very difficult for many times veterans coming out of service and coming into the VA is the hardened to get the services through the process. And so we're actually trying to do everything we can to ease that process so that they don't have to go anywhere. They don't feel like they have to deal with something that's daunting to get into it. But we're making it easier to get an answer on their benefits, get into the healthcare system so that they can get on to having the benefits that they've earned.
Now, are you talking about an app, a website, or all of the above?
Yes. I think the best way to do it. Even down to the paper, because a lot of people right now still do it. They've gotten where they go on our VA.gov or they go onto the websites and they can download or they can actually fill out paperwork online. We're using an app for veterans when they get in and they get into the system, they can download our app and they can, you know, mantle their scheduling. They get paid for travel vouchers. Those are all kind of things that are, you know, after the process. But that initial phase, I looked at one time our disability claims form on how you actually begin the process of disability when I first got in. It was like 18 or 19 pages full of legal jumbo that lawyers like me think are pretty cool, but most people don't, and they get scared by it. So we're trying to lower that down. If I had my way, it would go down to maybe a 1 to 2 page, 3 page at max application so that veterans can get good answers but also not have to feel like that they're having to go outside help to get it.
Now, we had the largest government shutdown in U.S. history. How did that impact VA benefits and services?
Well, it impacted in different ways. Our healthcare services were always open. Our clinics were always open. Our medical side never stopped because we had advanced appropriations. But it was very damaging in many ways for folks who were in school, who were veterans, who were in college, who are in vocational school, getting the vocational rehab training. All of that was basically shut down. We were making processing on payments, but again, we were doing so on a very limited basis with limited staff. As we go forward. So, I mean, those kind of things, I wish that, in these times of crisis, I served in Congress for 8 years. I get that you have disagreements, but this disagreement lasted way too long, and it really affected veterans. And there's some areas outside of my control, such as, SNAP benefits in which veterans were interfered with and others. So, again, for us, it was more the outreach. It was more of the not being able to have that one-on-one personal contact with veterans that we really need to have.
When you think about your tenure, what are some of the most impactful improvements that you've made that you are most proud of?
Most proud of is one is we took on the disability backlog claim, and we're still working it right now. It was over 265,000. We dropped that to 115,000. These were claims over 125 days. In other words, they were sitting in our system for longer than 125 days. And we lowered that almost to 150 to 160,000 here by the end of the year. We've also taken our overall total of claims coming in and dropped them from over 1 million to under 600,000. And that's just in benefit side. But on the healthcare side, we're making it easier for our hospitals and our doctors to work with our community care, making it easier for veterans to not only get care inside the hospitals or clinics, but also in the community. We smooth that transition. And we're making things a lot easier to get the total care.
For the veterans and their families and the VA workforce that are listening to this interview this Sunday morning, what message do you have for them about the importance of Veterans Day and just in general?
Well, first off, for my VA employees, the Secretary has your back and supports you and loves you. We want you to have the best ability to do your job and to do what I know you love to do, and that's to take care of veterans. We're going to continue to make it better for you. Yeah, we've had a lot of change this year that's going forward. We're going to have some more change coming up, but it's all designed to make sure that we give our employees the best ability to take care of our veterans. And to all our veterans and veteran families out there, thank you for your service. As someone who served alongside you now for over a quarter of a century, it is my honor and privilege to be the secretary who gets to take care of you now after you come out of the military. You raised your right hand. You said that you were willing to go and help this country be the strongest, baddest military in the world, and we appreciate that. And now you've earned those benefits, so we're here to serve you. Thank you on Veterans Day for being willing to serve your country.
And last but not least, where can these veterans and their families go to learn more about the available VA services that they have?
The best place to start is va.gov. That's the best place. It's a better website. We've actually improved the website. It's really good. VA.gov gives you an overview of everything from home loans to health care to benefits, everything in there. If they want to talk to somebody, they can call 1-800-MY-VA-411. That's 1-800-698-2411. Or if there's a veteran out there that's listening to this and maybe you're catching this show and you just you feel alone, you feel like nobody cares anymore, you feel like you don't want to go on, look, this secretary wants you to know that you're very valuable. You're a veteran. We love you. Dial 988, pick up a phone, please. Dial 988, talk to somebody, hit press 1. Somebody will be there 24/7, 365 to help you. Veterans, we all served. We all committed to leaving no man behind while we were in, and I want all my veterans out there to understand that that's a commitment that never ends. Make sure you're taking care of each other.
We want to thank the Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins for taking time out of his busy day to join us. And for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
You're listening to Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, here's Doug Petcash from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV.
Big news on the election front. Former longtime Ohio Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan announced he is not running for governor. In a statement, Ryan said, "After careful consideration, much prayer and reflection, and after long conversations with my family, my closest friends and advisors, I've made the decision not to run for governor in 2026. This leaves former Ohio Department of Health Director Dr. Amy Acton as the lone Democratic candidate. Republican Vivek Ramaswamy has the endorsement of the Ohio Republican Party and President Trump, as well as independent Heather Hill in the race for governor." We'll have more on this in our reporter roundtable in just a minute. All right, it was a very busy and productive week at the Ohio State House, especially Wednesday when lawmakers took up 38 bills during the House and Senate sessions. Today we're focusing on a few of the most impactful ones, starting with property taxes. Supporters say the four bills will save property owners more than $2.4 billion over 3 years. The bills will prevent tax hikes residents don't get to vote on, protect homeowners from surprise tax increases, and give budget commissions the authority to adjust or lower taxes. House Bill 335 puts a cap on what's called inside millage. That's property taxes that can be collected without a vote. Lawmakers say House Bill 186 alone will save property owners nearly $1.7 billion over the next 3 years. It would do that by preventing schools' property tax increases from being higher than the rate of inflation. They say it also includes an appropriation that will help school districts that are not up for reappraisal this year offset any revenue losses. These bills all now go to the governor. The House also approved a bill updating Ohio's marijuana laws and addressing intoxicating hemp products. On intoxicating hemp, Senate Bill 56 follows the recent changes to federal law. According to a news release from Ohio House Republicans, intoxicating hemp products could only be sold at licensed marijuana dispensaries. It also establishes a 13-month period in which THC beverages can still be made, distributed, and sold in Ohio grocers, retailers, bars, and restaurants with liquor licenses. It also limits THC amounts to 5 milligrams per serving, and that amount has to be displayed on each beverage can. Lawmakers also clarified Ohio's adult recreational marijuana law. It keeps the 10% tax rate for marijuana, gives 36% of tax revenue to communities that have marijuana dispensaries, prohibits smoking pot in public. It bans packaging and ads that are aimed at kids and allows a person convicted of marijuana possession of amounts that are now legal to have their conviction or guilty plea expunged. The Senate still has to adopt Senate Bill 56. It looks like they'll do that in early December. Also, if you vote by mail, you may want to send your ballot earlier next election. A bill to eliminate the 4-day grace period for mail-in absentee ballots to be received is now headed to the governor. The House approved it Wednesday. Right now, ballots can be received by boards of elections offices up to 4 days after the election. So if the governor signs the new law, all ballots will have to be in on or before Election Day. The bill sponsors say 34 states already require absentee ballots to be returned by mail on or before Election Day. Ohio would be the 35th. They say Senate Bill 293 will bring Ohio in line with federal election law. Opponents say the bill puts up unnecessary barriers for many voters.
Ohioans have the right to vote, and we want all valid votes to count. And the process needs to be done on Election Day. This bill, above all, will reinforce the reality that voting is one of the highest duties a citizen is called upon to do. It will provide the impetus for voters to make their voices heard and inspire confidence in a fair and secure election.
So this is harming senior citizens, people with disabilities, rural Ohioans who may be far from the early vote center, students, and is harming more Republican than Democratic voters.
For some perspective, let's look at Franklin County in the November 4th election. Nearly 20,000 voters requested absentee ballots by mail. The Board of Elections spokesman told me 535 ballots arrived after Election Day. Of those, 496 arrived during the 4-day grace period. 39 arrived after it. So, if Senate Bill 293 were in place today, those 496 ballots received in the grace period would not have been counted. Joining me now to discuss this very busy week that was are Ohio Public Radio and Television reporter and producer Joe Ingles and Cleveland.com and Plain Dealer Politics reporter Jeremy Pelzer. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, first of all, let's get back to the Tim Ryan news. He announced on Friday that he is not going to be running for governor. What impact do you think this is going to have, Joe?
Well, I kind of suspected this might be the outcome because if you look at what he was going to announce late summer, then he was announcing in the fall. Now, you know, he's coming up to December, still hadn't announced. I think that Amy Acton has been out there, former health director. She's been out there. She's been talking to people, laying the groundwork, got a lot of endorsements right. from a lot of different people. And I think that makes a big difference, having all those endorsements. She's been looking at the long game and playing, you know, out there doing everything that she needed to do to position herself. So I think that this really won't have much impact other than she can continue to do what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's sitting on the sidelines knows Tim Ryan isn't jumping in. They can go ahead and support. Act accordingly.
Okay. Yeah. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think that this was, as Joe said, sort of expected, although Ryan in recent weeks has been kind of hinting like he said, for example, that he's asked his advisors to put together a campaign if he decides mm-hmm. to run. This reflects his campaign got support from people mainly because they thought Acton might be comparatively weak against presumptive Republican nominee Vivek Ramaswamy. She's a former state health director who, of course, was health director during the early days of Ohio's coronavirus crisis. And the issue, though, is that Tim Ryan is running. Would be running in a primary where increasing numbers of male, white, working class voters are leaving the Democratic Party. And so he would have faced an uphill battle with one of the key demographics he would need to win in a primary. Also, Republicans have been openly salivating at the idea of having a Tim Ryan, Amy Acton primary where they would train their fire on each other, and then the winner would be hamstrung against Ramaswamy in the general
election. Now that's not going to happen. Right. All right, so that we'll see how that plays out. Of course, big development this week in the election process there.
Again, that's courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM The Fan 2.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big.